Hi everyone, welcome or welcome back to Real Recovery. This is a podcast where I talk about my own experience with anorexia and I give practical tips and advice if you're also in recovery. Please don't take this as medical advice or anything though. I'm not a medical professional and I always recommend you go and speak to a doctor if you're struggling with an eating disorder. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about how to let go of your eating disorder. I'm sort of doing this in air quotes because letting go is not obviously as easy as it sounds. I've actually mentioned this in quite a few episodes, but I mentioned this in my last episode about how to progress your mental recovery alongside your physical recovery, because I know that a lot of people weight restore or gain weight a lot faster than they make progress mentally in recovery from anorexia. This is really common, so if this is you, then you know, you're not alone, obviously, and I recommend going and listening to my last episode on this. Anyway, so, oh, and before I start, I've got a new microphone, like a proper microphone now, so I hope the audio quality on my podcast episodes is going to be a lot better. Please let me know though, because obviously I'm new to it and I'm just trying it out, so I hope it's good. So this episode is mainly for you guys struggling with anorexia specifically. However, I reckon it could also help a range of eating disorders and actually other like mental illnesses as well. Basically, letting go, the sort of topic of this will help you if you're feeling a bit stuck in your eating disorder. Like if you want to get better, but for some reason you can't seem to progress. Basically, I'm just going to take you through my personal mental blocks when it came to letting go of my eating disorder. And then I'll give you the like alternative methods that I figured out how to use. Basically, this is what really helped me. So first, I just want to mention, right, letting go is not the same as telling someone, oh, just eat. Because obviously it's not that simple, and I don't want to make light of this topic, because obviously if recovering from anorexia was as easy as just mentally like deciding to let go, then everyone would just be doing it. But it is about making a mental shift to stop holding yourself to the same standards that anorexia holds you to, if that makes sense. It's not about making all the rules and the thoughts and everything like disappear, but it's about continually reminding yourself that you no longer need to follow them. It's similar to like an identity shift, but it's not the same thing in my opinion anyway. And I will make an episode about the whole like identity of having an eating disorder as well, because that plays a big role in recovery, I think. So it's kind of essential to actually let go of your eating disorder. And I think once you do, you will find recovery a lot easier. Basically, it kind of goes hand in hand with giving yourself permission to eat and permission to rest and permission to gain weight and break rules and just move on, so you won't be constantly at war with yourself, basically. I mean, obviously, again, I'm going to keep saying this, but it's easier said than done. But when you want one thing, like recovery, but you, like your thoughts and your desires and all your actions and beliefs and everything is just aligned in the opposite way, then it's really difficult. So letting go of that part of you will just make everything easier. So it's really important to do. So personally, I found it really difficult to recover because I could challenge myself with rules and stuff, but I found it really difficult to cope emotionally. And I think that's one of the reasons why I clung to my eating disorder. I think it had a hold over me in the sense that it was kind of paralyzing with fear and everything, which is a very common experience, obviously. But I think at the same time, I was also still holding on to it because I felt like I needed it in some way to cope. I think I couldn't have just let go unless I felt I could cope without it. And I want everyone to know that you can cope without your eating disorder. It's going to be different for everyone. Like, people are going to find it easier, some people are going to find it harder. I mean, if you have other mental health issues and like trauma and stuff, then I'm not making light of this. I'm not saying, oh, just like cope in another way, it's going to be easy, but you can do it. And the coping mechanisms, there are some that are just objectively better than others. And I think your eating disorder is not a very good one. Obviously, it's one that your brain has decided to use. But that doesn't mean that it is the right one. So yeah. I also just want to mention that letting go of your eating disorder is a really important thing to do, but it's also not something that you need to put a load of pressure on yourself to do perfectly. It can happen in stages. It's not just like these big epiphanies that happen and then suddenly you're finding things 100 times easier. It can just come along in stages that you can just, 1 week you might realize that, oh, hang on a minute, I don't actually need to use restriction to feel in control because I'm going to try this instead. And then another week you come up with another coping mechanism for another emotion, and then another time you do this and that and the other, and then over time you find that you have pretty much let go of these big parts of your eating disorder. Anyway, I'm going to talk about how I experienced this and hopefully you can relate. So basically, I kind of kicked off this process of letting go by journaling. I journal a lot still. I was very frustrated in the fact that I didn't feel like my mental recovery was happening very quickly, and I just didn't feel like I was making a lot of progress, and I just felt really stuck. I felt like no matter what I was doing, I wasn't really getting rid of this massive like illness in my brain. So yeah, I started writing down all the reasons why I felt I needed my eating disorder. I wrote down basically all the benefits it gave me, obviously benefits like in quotes here because they're not really benefits if you think about it, but you might relate to some of the things I'm going to bring up, but I do want to just give a bit of a trigger warning because obviously I'm going to be talking about the things that my eating disorder provided me, and I don't want people to take this the wrong way. I don't want people to think I'm literally like promoting anorexia here because I'm really not. And if you think that hearing about my experience with the ways that my eating disorder helped me cope, maybe like click out of this episode because I don't want to trigger you. Now I am actually going to like take you through exactly what I did, so if you actually want to kind of journal alongside me then go ahead, but I really recommend that you do this exercise of like writing down all the things, and I'm going to obviously walk you through it, but the things that like the reasons you come up with will probably be quite different to me. You might have extra ones, you might not relate to some of them, so it's important to kind of do it for yourself as well. But yeah. So, I mean, I'm just going to go through a few. I'm literally looking at my old journal. I made an Instagram post about this as well, so you can check that out if you want to like see this written down. And this will probably be written up as a blog article at some point as well, so yeah. Anyway, so let's just go through. So one of the reasons why I felt like I needed my eating disorder was that it meant I didn't have to communicate my feelings, as my friends and my family and everyone could just look at me and tell that something was wrong, but based on how I looked, because my eating disorder is like physical manifestations. Obviously that won't be the same for every eating disorder and every person's experience, but yeah. Another reason was that I felt like I had a constant safety net, which was my underweight body. It kind of calmed me down, and it was a weird experience, I think, personally. I don't really understand why this had such a powerful, like, emotional effect, but it definitely calmed me down, and I think people can probably relate to that. Another reason was I felt like I had a kind of excuse, a cast-iron excuse, to not participate in life, which I was finding really difficult at the moment, like, when I was ill. I was just finding it so exhausting to just do anything, pretty much, which I think is a bit of a, like, self-perpetuating cycle, isn't it? Like, I felt exhausted because I was ill, but then I was clinging to being ill because I felt so exhausted and I didn't want to have to do anything. I don't know. Another reason was that it kind of numbed stress and just all negative feelings. I just didn't have to feel them. That's a very common reason why people can cling to their eating disorder so much, because it is quite a powerful like emotional suppressant. Another reason was that it did give me a sense of accomplishment and it gave me goals to work towards. This is just like a basic human need, and it is kind of addictive to be like trapped within that sort of process of losing weight when you have anorexia, so I'm not gonna like deny the effects that did have. Another reason why I felt I needed it was that it made me feel safe and life felt very predictable when I was restricting. Like, yeah, And also, obviously, the sense of control that it gave me. And then a final reason that I can think about right now anyway, there's probably more, but is that I felt supported by my family and I felt supported by professionals, which I think, again, is another very common thing that people with anorexia experience. And it's also something that people can really miss when support is like reduced when you do restore weight, which is unfortunate. It shouldn't really be the way it is. But anyway, so those are just like a sort of example of some of the things that I felt that anorexia like gave me, and I felt like I really needed those things. And when I did this journaling and I sat down and I wrote all these things down, these were, in my opinion, the reasons why I was struggling to let go of anorexia. I was struggling to give myself that permission to stop following the rules and stop restricting and to stop like suppressing my weight and stuff. And once I could overcome these things and replace these things with other ways of getting the same results, in a sense, that was when I was able to give myself permission to gain weight. Obviously, it wasn't that easy, and I started to overcome the, like, fear and everything behind it, but it's what kind of allowed me to even begin the process, if that makes sense. It kind of is what pushed me out of like quasi-recovery. So yeah. Okay, so the next step after writing all this down, right, is you kind of have to find some alternative ways to achieve the same outcomes in a less destructive way, because that's the key here. You have to replace your coping mechanisms. You can't just get rid of it. Like, you can't just get rid of anorexia and then expect that, like, you're not going to still want the same things. Like, you're still going to want a feeling of safety and control and support and all that, but you just need to find a different way of achieving it. Anyway, like, I knew that I didn't want anorexia. I knew it caused so many problems. And obviously, like, I knew that it would literally kill me if I didn't stop right then and there. But I also knew that I needed what it gave me. And I think that's just basic human, like, nature, isn't it? You do need, there's a certain set of things that you need in life, like emotional needs. Anyway, the mistake I made was thinking that anorexia was the only way around this. I want to give a caveat here, because I still kind of, I'm in two minds, because in a way, I genuinely believe that anorexia is a powerful way of achieving these things. I'm not saying it's a good way at all, by no means, but I'm also saying that, like, when you're stressed, right, and someone's like, oh, go take a bath, I'm not saying that having a bath is gonna be as powerful as restricting your food for months on end. I'm not saying that they're gonna have the same, like, measurable effect, but what I am saying is that you can replace what anorexia gives you with a number of coping mechanisms, and they all kind of work together to give you the same effect. So maybe, like, one thing on its own isn't going to be as powerful as restricting or whatever your way of coping is, whether that's like binging and purging or whatever, over exercising but you know, you kind of have to collect a bunch of stuff to use, and it will work as well. So, like, there is hope in that way, but I'm not going to deny the fact that an eating disorder is obviously a very powerful coping mechanism, even if it's not a very good one. Okay, so then after writing all this stuff down, I literally, like, directly underneath it, I would address each point, and I sort of wrote down some alternative ideas. I kind of addressed this as if I was, like, an outsider, and I was, like, looking at my list and thinking, okay, well, if someone else was saying that they needed their eating disorder because they, you know, they don't feel that they can communicate without it, what would I say to them? And I would literally, like, write myself down a solution. So, for the first one, like, the solution was practicing different communication styles that work for me. I found speaking really difficult. I don't find it as difficult now. I think it's just practice. But I still find it really difficult when I'm emotional in any sense to firstly even recognize what the emotion is, and then secondly to actually, like, communicate it and then figure out what to do about it. I always write down things. It just makes things so much clearer. I'm sure a lot of other people are like that, but I also think that some people are different. Obviously, everyone has different ways of communicating, but basically just find stuff that works for you. So if you're like me, writing stuff down, like in a letter, text, whatever, and then presenting that to someone rather than trying to figure out how to say it can be really good. And honestly, that worked for me so well. Once I realized that that was an option, I could just write out a text to my dad and tell him how I was feeling rather than having to sit there and answer questions and speak about it. It really did help. And I didn't feel like I was so, I don't know, it was a scary feeling not being able to communicate. And I think that's why I clung to the underweight part of my eating disorder so much, because I didn't feel like I needed to communicate anymore. And then the second point, the need that anorexia was meeting for the constant safety net sort of feeling. I know other people will be able to relate to this, but I also think explaining it to someone without an eating disorder is really difficult at this point, because it's like, how could feeling and looking at yourself being dangerously underweight feel safe? But it does, or it did at least. It wouldn't now for me, but it did when I was struggling. So the solution to that was to add a safety net into my life that wasn't that, obviously. I mean, I think multiple safety nets probably was the best approach, but for me that was kind of stoicism, or that like school of belief that helps you let go of things outside of your control. And this kind of took a lot of practice to get into making my brain automatically go to that place. But instead of my brain automatically, like a stressor would appear, and then my brain would be like, oh, but I'm underweight, and oh, I can feel that bone, oh, thank God. Like, that's such a weird thing, but it is kind of how it worked. But now my brain kind of goes, like, if something stressful appears, my brain goes to, oh, it doesn't matter, or it's out of my control, it's fine. Like, I know that sounds really simplistic, and I'll probably make a whole episode on this because it's helped me so much, but that kind of mindset is really helpful, and that kind of is my safety net, you know, essentially now. But, you know, other things like this as well, it's just kind of like grounding yourself, I guess mindfulness, I'm not a fan of that word, but journaling, and just like whatever makes you feel safe and makes you kind of come back to a place of just being grounded and being like, everything's okay, like just chill out. I mean, yeah, finding other ways of implementing that into your life is how you can substitute that, and that will help you let go of anorexia and being underweight, if that is your position right now. So when it came to having an excuse not to participate in life, the solution for that was learning how to like build boundaries and like advocate for myself when I don't feel capable of doing something and when I don't want to participate in something. I also think that, I don't know, this might be related to autism and ADHD and all that, because I was diagnosed with that after finding out that, you know, anorexia was helping me manage life pressures. So I don't know how that relates. I don't think it's necessarily like strictly related to autism. I think that you can experience the same thing without having autism or anything like that. But I don't know. I think that it might play a role. Putting less pressure on myself in general helped there. Realizing that it's actually not necessarily, like, you don't need anorexia in order to have a valid excuse not to want to do something. Like, I was really struggling with socializing because of anxiety, because of OCD, because of a bunch of reasons, and just general exhaustion. Oh, I wonder why. Probably because I wasn't eating enough. Like, if you are physically unwell right now with anorexia, you can't really be surprised that you're exhausted and not wanting to participate in life. So ironically, yeah, you're keeping yourself in that position. And then when it came to dealing with stress, like using anorexia to deal with stress and just cope with emotions in general, I think it really is just like a hard slog of experimenting, trial and error with different like coping strategies, you know, the basic stuff, the stuff that it's not, you don't want to do it, but like, you know, that it probably will help, you know, yoga, meditation, journaling, just kind of, I feel like the best coping mechanisms and distractions in general are the ones that use your brain and your body at the same time. So like colouring in, making jewellery, playing games like Scrabble and all that kind of stuff. Just basically brainstorm and figure out a bunch of ways that help you feel distracted, feel a bit happier, reduce your stress, all that good stuff. And have a group of them. I made this mistake, right, of thinking that I could replace the effect of anorexia with coping with stress and everything with one other thing, but that's just so wrong. Like, you need at least like five. I don't know. You know, for me, it's like I felt really angry because I felt like, why isn't this working? Like, I'm journaling. Why isn't it working? Why don't I feel like emotionally stable? Like, I'm trying to give up this effect of anorexia is having on helping me cope, but I was trying to replace it with like one or two things, and I felt like I needed a lot more because obviously anorexia is powerful in comparison. So yeah, give yourself like a group of things that help, and you know, take your time with experimenting, trial and error. If something doesn't work for you, that's fine. It might not, but it just try a bunch of stuff and see what works. I also think medication can help here. I did go on anxiety medication, sertraline, for a few months, and I think this did help. So if you need medication, then speak to your doctor, and hopefully you can speak to a psychiatrist and see if that's something you would need. But yeah, that can help some people. Just obviously be careful about it, because side effects, you know, coming off of them is often quite difficult, but yeah, that can help. So the next point that I made about like goal achieving, and the sense of like success and achievement that comes with anorexia, I think that it's not something you can just deny yourself. Like, people and humans need that sense of like goal-driven activity, and you know, motivation and feeling like you're achieving something is obviously essential. So you can just replace this with other goals. I know it's easier said than done, and I know your brain's probably like, no, I don't want to though, but like, you can. And actually setting new recovery goals and like making that as your sense of achievement and just changing your direction of travel can be really helpful. Goals related to anything really, like school or work or just hobbies. I recommend, if you're in the early process of recovery, or you're in the middle, whatever, or if you're just struggling in general with like mental health stuff, don't set yourself really difficult goals. Like, don't base your like sense of worth and your achievements on getting amazing grades or whatever, because if you're just struggling in general, it might be putting too much pressure on yourself. So maybe just set like really quite small goals, maybe start a creative sort of project, whatever it may be, but set yourself some new goals and tasks and all that, and make that your direction of achievement and success rather than losing weight. So with the feeling in control part of everything, I think that's the most difficult one personally, and honestly I don't know if I have figured this one out completely yet, because it still plays a big role in my life, this feeling of being out of control and wanting to control things. But I think a big thing that did help me let go of this part of anorexia was learning about like my limits and stop pushing myself to the brink, and just learning that you don't need to control everything, and like you can change your, I don't know how to explain this. You set the bar, right? So like, if you're a perfectionist, you're the one who's determining what perfection is, and you can change it at any point. And I actually have recorded a whole episode on this, which will be out soon. So, but yeah, another thing I think is worth mentioning is that recovery itself is something that I felt in control of once I had committed to it. Recovery, especially if you are younger and you know you've got people around you who are like monitoring you and literally making you eat and making you gain weight and stuff, that's going to happen whether you like it or not, in a sense, especially like if you're impatient or something. So you actually are going to feel more in control once you get on board. It's like the train is moving, whether you are, you know, tied to the back being dragged along, or whether you actually get on and go sit down. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you will feel more in control once you commit, I think, in that sense, to recovery. So that's something to look forward to if you haven't yet. The outcome of all of this, right, is that obviously the results weren't instant, but after I had done this and written this stuff down, I felt a lot safer. I felt a lot more ready to let go of anorexia. I felt like I did have these backup options of like, okay, well, I'm not just going to be completely stranded and like lost and feeling awful because I have these alternative methods which I can try. And it did take some trial and error, obviously, experimenting with stuff, but you know, you will get there in the end. Recovery, literally, even if it's going quite badly, is still going to be better than anorexia. You really cannot go wrong if you've chosen recovery, but you can go wrong with anorexia, obviously. I think after doing this work and finding, implementing all these alternatives, I mean, now at least, I certainly no longer feel like I need anorexia. I have no desire to use it again, and I wish I could obviously like completely get rid of it. But the point is that the alternatives work, and there are many ways around emotional problems or just life problems. Like, there are solutions to things. Yes, it's difficult to find them sometimes. And yes, you might need multiple different solutions in order to properly substitute anorexia as a coping mechanism. I also just want to mention, obviously, anorexia, eating disorders, they're not purely coping mechanisms. So this obviously only addresses one element of it, but it is an element of it that will really help you let go of it, let go of the identity, let go of the mindset and everything, is by substituting out how the ways that it helps you cope in life. But yeah, it is just one element. I know there's other things involved in anorexia and in eating disorders, so yeah. Obviously, I know anorexia is never a choice. It's not like someone just thinks, oh, I'm stressed, I need a way to cope, oh, well, I'll just restrict my eating and, you know, manipulate my weight. That's not really how it works. But it does provide, like, a sort of coping mechanism. And once you kind of unlock what purpose it is serving you, you can work on letting go, as you can replace it with healthier alternatives. So, yeah. I hope this has helped you. I hope you do try this. I hope you write down all the things that, you know, really think about it. Really think, okay, well, like, why am I clinging to this? If you are, like, why do I feel like I need it? What would happen if I didn't have it? Like, in what ways would I be struggling? And then just try and address those ways that you'd be struggling and try and come up with just ideas. It's almost like brainstorming. It's just like coming up with ideas, experimenting, seeing if they work. Because I can guarantee you that something will work better than anorexia, and it won't be killing you, and it won't be destroying your life, and that'll be great. So yeah, I know a lot of you might be thinking this is just too like abstract, it doesn't relate to you at all because you're just kind of so stuck within it right now, but just keep at it and just make like smaller steps. Maybe do this journaling exercise over the course of a week or whatever, and just kind of really start thinking about it if it's not something you feel like you can just jump into. But just give it a go. I think it's really worth trying. But yeah, please let me know what you think about this episode. Also, let me know how you are feeling about the audio quality, because I really hope it is better. Hope I didn't just waste my money on a microphone for nothing. I am back into posting on the Instagram right now. It is Real Recovery UK. You can send me a message on there. However, I am still quite behind with my DMs, so it's probably, you're gonna get a quicker response if you want to ask a question or something if you email me. The links will be below in the show notes. But yeah, please leave a rating and a review, because it really, really helps the podcast get pushed out to more people and the algorithms and stuff. Any requests, any suggestions you might have, let me know. But yeah, I hope you have enjoyed. I hope you guys are doing okay, and I hope you have a great day, great week. Yeah, I appreciate everyone listening so much, and I'm wishing you the best. Goodbye.